Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
It's always a joy to be in God's presence, and it's a blessing to always learn at His feet. The Bible said, from the days of thy youth, that thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which is able to make thee wise unto salvation. The knowledge of the Scripture is designed to bring us liberty, freedom, and victory as we walk through life. From the days of thy youth, he said, you have known the Holy Scriptures, and is able to make thee wise unto salvation. This is why the Bible admonishes us in Isaiah 34 verse 16. It says, search ye out of the book of the law and read. It says, none of these things shall fail. The mouth of the Lord hath spoken it, and he said, his spirit gathered it. Heaven and earth shall pass away. It says, not one jot or tittle of my word shall pass away. And so we have an assurance, an anchor upon which we can build our lives and be assured of a glorious existence. Peter said, we have not believed cunningly devised fables when we spoke unto you about the coming king. He said, we were eyewitnesses on the mount when he was transfigured. So they saw Jesus in his glory. He said, but we have a more sure word of prophecy. He said, knowing this first. He said, no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Spirit. And so we are invited to build our lives on scriptures and on the truth of the Word of God, because it sustains the veracity and the authority to bring to pass everything that it affirms. And this is why, again and again, when we come here, we look into the Holy Writ to find out what God is saying on several matters, and therefore anchor our lives on those realities. Tonight again, we want to look into the Word, and I know somebody's story will be changed forever. Before I read the Word of God for us tonight and to communicate God's emphasis, I want to sincerely honor one of the few that I call my mothers in the Spirit and in the things of the kingdom. You know, while we were laboring back in the days, the days when we were training in the backsides of the wilderness, learning the way of faith and learning the way of scriptures. Sometimes it becomes difficult, so we retire to her dwelling, and she will suffice us with food first to bring us back. We will fast in her house, and then she will cook food. When we are reinvigorated physically, then she will bless us and she will prophesy. And today we, by the mercies of God, we are beginning to grow. And so every time she comes around, it's always a blessing to see her and to celebrate her. Can we please, in the spirit of honor, join our hands together and celebrate the woman of God, Mommy Charity Osheuba. Thank you so much, ma. Always a blessing to see you. Those prayers, those prophecies, and the food, they have gone a long way. She's here with her friend also, all the way from the United Kingdom. We are so blessed to have you. Mommy Christie is here. Thank you so much. We are honored to have you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Tonight, I'll be sharing very briefly. You know, we are looking at scripture. Why are you laughing? Don't you eat? In your training days, don't you? We fasted, but we needed food from time to time. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, can we celebrate Jimmy the Psalmist for blessing us mightily? Now, he's been with us for a long time. He just comes, sits down, receives the word and go. But, I mean, he became a burden. You can't come here. You are going to Canada. You are going to the U.S. You are going to France to bless people. Bless us here too. And he will bless us again and again and again. For him, this is home. Glory to God. Thank you so much, God's servant. We are grateful to God for raising you at such a time as this. Tonight, I want to share with us on the principles of operating in divine favor. Glory to God. I know you don't need favor, but me, I need it. So as I'm saying it, I'll be saying it to myself. The principles of operating in divine favor. Now, I've been boarding in the last few months, and that's why I've been teaching along these lines. You know, Jesus was speaking to his disciples, and he said, "It's more beneficial for you that I leave." And I didn't understand how and why the master would say that. But when I collided with that verse of scripture for the first time, I knew whatever Jesus said was right. So I began to read further to find out why he would say that. And the first point he made was the fact that if I don't leave, the Holy Ghost will not come. And so I realized that while Jesus was with us, at best, God was with us, which was very beautiful. But when he left and the Holy Ghost came, God was not just with us, God was now in us. So he knew what he meant when he said, "It is more expedient for you that I leave." Emmanuel, God is with you. So that was the summary of the operation of Jesus' life while he walked on earth, as far as humanity was concerned. But God wanted to go beyond being with us, but being in us. And so when God, the Holy Ghost came, God began to live on our inside. And God did not just live on our inside because he was looking for a dwelling place. I've told you before that God does not need a house. Because before creation was, God was. And I told you that God dwells in God. The Bible said in 1 Timothy 6:16, it said God is light that is unapproachable. Glory to God. It said God dwells in light that is unapproachable. And in 1 John 1:5, it says God is light. So by implication, light dwells in light. That means God dwells in God. And that's the only way you can explain how God existed before existence began. That's the only way you can explain how God was before creation began. Because if God necessarily must live in something, then that thing predates him. But nothing predates God. God was the one who was, who is, and who is to come. And he began before creation began. In fact, he was before creation began. Glory to God. So when God came into us, it was not because he was looking for a dwelling place. He has dwelt in himself from ages past. When he dwelt in us, it's because he had an agenda of transfiguring us to become like him. He can do so much around us, but in order to make us become like him, he has to walk in us from within us. So that he's not just intervening in our lives, he's making us to become like him, so we too become a system of divine intervention. And this is why every one of us who is sitting here today has the potential of becoming exactly like Jesus. Because when God enters you, God begins to transform you from within. Glory to Jesus. And it's possible because the apostles attained that feat. John was speaking, Paul now, 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1. He said, "Be ye followers of me as I'm a follower of Christ." That means if you see me, you've seen Christ. If you follow me, you follow Christ. I have mirrored his dimension to a point where I almost exemplify his reality. And John went further to even raise the bar. He said, "As he is, so are we, not in heaven, in this world. We have become like him because transfiguration has been taking place. When God entered us, God began to walk in us to become like God." That's why he said, if that same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he's not dwelling there because he needs a house. He dwells there to quicken your mortal body and to mortify the flesh so that you can begin a journey of transfiguration until you become like the one whom you worship. But Jesus did not stop there. He also went further to give us truths and scriptures, and he advised us. He said, "Blessed is a man that builds his house upon these truths." He said, "For he shall be like a rock, a house built upon a rock." He said, "When the winds come boisterously and hit against it," he said, "that house will stand." So on one side, the Holy Ghost lives on our inside, transforms and transfigures us to become like God. And then on another side, there are principles and secrets that God put in place for us to live by, so that we become like Mount Zion that cannot be moved. That's why Deuteronomy 29:29 said, the secret things belong to God. He said, but the things that are revealed, they belong to us and to our children forever. And those things are the things that give us power to live in this life as rulers upon the face of the earth. Because he said, wisdom speaking now, he said, by me kings reign and princes decree justice. So every secret God gives to us is designed to give us victory in life. And so the Bible said it's the glory of the Lord to conceal a matter. It said, but the honor of kings, if these secrets will make you a ruler, it said the honor of kings is to search them out and to understand them. According to Psalm 25 verse 14. So the principles of the kingdom, the secrets of the kingdom, are designed to make us rulers. But for us to manifest our rulership, we must search them out to understand how they work. And this is why we began in the last 2 months looking at some of the secrets that constitute the advantage of the believer. And we looked at the fear of God. We looked at intimacy with God. We looked at walking in the blessing. And we've been picking these things one after the other and discussing. Tonight, I want to pick another secret of the kingdom that God has given to us as an infrastructure that brings advantage to our existence. And that secret is the operation of the spirit of favor. That's why I have titled the message tonight, Functioning in Divine Favor. You know, many don't understand that there is something on their lives that gives them advantage. You know, because of our training, we think that the only way to succeed is by hard work. Now, hard work is very important. We teach it here too. I told you, Paul said, if you don't work, don't eat. He said, him that stole should steal no more, but work with his hand, that he might have to give. So we know the place of hard work is one of the requirements of growth in the kingdom, because God wants us responsible. But hard work, or diligent work, or smart work, as you may call it, it's not the only way by which we succeed in this kingdom. Because if it's the only way we succeed, then we will not have an advantage from the unbeliever. In fact, those who subscribe to diabolic powers will now defeat us in the race of life. Because when they bring the advantage of demonic assistance, we will become casualties. So God, in addition to what is generic and universal, diligence, hard work, smart work, in addition to all of that, has also co-opted other secret infrastructures for us and for us alone. So that in case any other deployment from the spiritual realm comes in, we will still have an advantage. This is why men like Daniel, even though they were competing with sorcerers and astrologers, they were 10 times better than them. Because if you say, let's read, all of us will read. But when you subscribe to demonic wisdom, we will subscribe to the excellent spirit. And he walked in it to a level that the queen came and said, there is a man in thy kingdom, in whom, not hard work, not diligent work, in whom is the spirit of the holy God. He said, light and understanding is with this man. And on the strength of that, he has powers to explain hard sentences. And so when the astrologers fail, Daniel shows up like an ancient man. And he looks at the writing on the wall. He says, mene, mene. They could not even read it. Because that language is not from the realms of mortals. Those were communications from the chronicles of immortals. Only those who have traveled to the heavens can interpret it. But the guy came and read it first. To let the king know that we are not only in your court. Some of us go beyond the stars. We know where immortals converge. And the language that is communicated here, I will tell you, you've never heard it before. It's called mene, mene. And this mene, mene, teke ofasi, has many syllables. It says, you have been weighed in the balances. The king began to wonder, where do they weigh, men? We know where weight. It's not only physical weight that they weigh. There are realms where they weigh your stature in the spirit. And either your obedience or your disobedience can give you an advantage. And I was there when they weighed you. And this kingdom that you love so much have been divided. Tonight, you'll be overthrown. Desire. If you are a Christian, learn universal laws, learn universal principles, but don't allow your life be limited to those realms. You know, the world wants to force us to agree that we are the same. We are not the same. The institution called the church is not like any other institution. We are the ecclesia of God. When we gather here, angels come here. We represent God on earth. We are not like a bank. We are not like a university. You may think we are all institutions, but there's a difference. Because when the earth is purged, the church will remain. This thing we are doing here will remain for all eternity. It will cross over to Zion. What you call an altar is not a stage. There is an altar in heaven. The same worship we offer here. Angels worship in heaven. They've done it before the earth was created. And even when the earth ends, they will continue to worship. We are the only ones who are doing something that has eternal shape. So let them not force you to be like them. You are greater than that. You are greater. Because Christians have been intimidated. When you bring supernatural dimension, they make it look as if you are being a religious by God. No, you are not. There is a physical dimension to you, but there's also a supernatural dimension to you. When you apply the physical dimension and it does not work, switch over. So that when they are stranded, you will not be stranded. If you read 2 Kings chapter 6 and 7, when they exhausted all the principles of economics and the nation's economy could not be helped, that was when it dawned on the king that there's a prophet called Elisha. Imagine if Elisha threw his prophetic utensils away and said him too wanted to blend in. The nation would have been lost. But when they came to him, he said, by this time tomorrow, 2 cups of barley will be sold for 1 shekel. And the wise man looked at him and said, no, I know there's a window of heaven. He said, but even if the window of heaven opens, this will not happen. And he said, you will see it, but you will not partake of it. And the next day, God used lepers to alter the economic infrastructure of a nation. I tell you, don't become a natural man. He said, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. Because they are spiritually discerned. Keep your spiritual utensils. You will need it on your journey. And so there are many things that constitute our advantage in this kingdom. And one of them is the infrastructure called divine favor. But you know, it's not enough to know you have it. You must understand how to operate it. And this is where many Christians have a problem. We have many advantages. Prophet is an advantage. It can make dry bones to become a mighty army. So when we stand here and we are prophesying, it's because we know there is a force behind it. And you see the numerous testimonies we get here. It's an advantage. Laying on of hands is an advantage. There are many things in the kingdom that are an advantage. If you must excel by God, learn them. That's why we are teaching them tonight. Let me step down a little so that we can do some teaching before we end with rapture. The word favor in the Greek is the word charis. It's used synonymously with the word grace, but it has its own unique operation. And that word simply means divine influence upon the heart of a man that reflects tangibly in his life, provoking supernatural benefits. It's a divine influence upon the heart of a man that reflects tangibly in his life, provoking supernatural benefits. This is why you must understand how favor works. I begin by telling you this. Every man in scripture that the Bible attributed favor to became great. Not one was small. Go and read your Bible. The moment you study your Bible and the Bible says, This man had favor. This man found favor. This woman found favor. Greatness became a natural byproduct. That means, in addition to all that favor does, favor makes great. And it is consistent in scripture. Genesis 6 verse 8. The Bible spoke about Noah. It said the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor. Noah found favor with God. And the moment he found favor with God, he became the most relevant man in his generation. Even when the whole earth was purged, Noah was standing. When a man finds favor, come what may, he will be great. In fact, if you choose to fight him, everything you do against him turns out for his advantage. This is the mystery of favor. Favor makes everything around you to work to your advantage. That's why it makes men great. Joseph was a prisoner. But even in prison, Genesis 39:21, the Bible said, God gave him favor. And the moment God gave him favor, there was an immediate change of status. They made him the head of the prisoners immediately. Not because he did anything. Favor was on the man's life. And favor brought him greatness. Even in prison. Do you know what it looks like for a foreigner to be imprisoned in a foreign land? You are supposed to suffer every wickedness that is possible. But the guy was there. What should have distinguished him for failure? Favor turned around and he became the leader of people who were prisoners in their own country. In his own case, he was not just a prisoner. He was a foreign prisoner. So the little privileges that the citizens who were prisoners should have, he didn't even have it. But favor located him in the prison. And even in the prison, the guy was a great man. This is the power and the excellency of favor. In Exodus 33 verse 17, we saw that Moses found favor with God. And because Moses found favor with God, in his era, he became the greatest man that walked the earth. If you will be great, in addition to prophecy, in addition to diligent work, as much as is within your power, make sure you walk in favor. Ask any great man, he will tell you that when he goes through his life, there are major gaps that he cannot explain the transitions that took place. He can tell you where his abilities took him to and where unexplainable realities took him further. That is where favor comes in, to fill in the blank spaces of your destiny so that by all means you arrive at greatness. Every favored person is a great person. This is why God has made favor available to every one of us, especially those of us who are saved in Christ Jesus. If you don't know how to operate favor, I tell you in advance, there will be many limitations in your life, no matter how hardworking you are, no matter the prophecy you carry. Read your Bible. Even Jesus, the Son of God, needed favor. The Bible said, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. John 1 verse 1. Verse 2. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. So this is God. This is Creator. In fact, because He was in the beginning, He has the advantage of experience. That means nobody has better experience than Him. And He didn't just have the advantage of experience. He is God. And He created all things. That means He understands how everything works. But the moment God became man, God needed favor. And the Bible said in Luke chapter 2, verse 52, it said the child Jesus grew in stature, in wisdom, and in favor with God and with man. Make the mistake of thinking, I'm hardworking. Because I'm hardworking, everything will work. You'll be shocked. Some people will even be angry because you are so hardworking. And because of your hard work, they will make you an enemy for no just cause. And they will take things up with you in quarters where you cannot defend yourself. If favor doesn't speak for you, You won't even know where your warfare is coming from. And you just keep fighting, fighting day and night. Because people don't need anything to hate you. Make impact, your enemies will multiply. Just for making impact. What will cushion the effect of your enemies and the warfare on your life that makes them to be of non-effect in your life is the operation of favor. This is why for every man who will break many thresholds and become great, God puts favor on their lives. And tonight, I beg you, listen to what I will tell you. Apply them so that the favor on your life will grow. In this kingdom, God gives you a measure, but He expects you to grow in it. He gives you a measure. It's from faith to faith. It's from glory to glory. It's from grace to grace. It's from favor to favor. So you have a measure of favor because you are born of God, but you need principles to grow them. Are you following? You will need it. And in case you think you don't need it for your life, you will need it for God's kingdom. If I have time to share testimonies with you, I will tell you places favor spoke for us and stopped us from using resources. How refreshing it is when favor shows up. Favor will show up for you in this service. Before I go into how to walk in favor, let me show you 8 things that favor does in particular in a man's life. You know, I like nowadays because I'm raising people, I try to be a bit pastoral. When I used to be a traveling minister only, I just vaporize. If I come, any tune I find, I just flow with it. And I can talk for 2 hours. I'm just going. At some point, the presence of God will hit the building. The ones you can't understand, God will impart it. I will finish and go away. But I'm raising people. So I need to show you things to apply so that you can grow. Glory to God. Oh, precious Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's speed up. I show you a few things quickly. 8 things that favor does in particular. Number one, favor provokes preservation. There are many battles you won't fight with your hands. Because of favor, God will raise a defense for you. Either through men and sometimes even strangers. People are plotting your downfall. And somebody just passes and say, what has this person done to you people? Why are you so wicked? And he will take the battle on his head and fight to the last. You may not even be aware. And this person can fight to the last. He may not even know you. But there's a perfume on your life that is provoking something that even himself is not aware. This is how favor works. Look at the scriptures quickly. Psalm 5 verse 12. He says, surely the Lord blesses the righteous and surrounds them with favor as a shield. So when God puts favor on a man's life, He says favor begins to function in the similitude of a shield around that man's life. And that shield is so strong that many times it breaks protocols in order to save you. You read the story of Esther. Haman was the right-hand man of the king. I've read it to you here a couple of times. Because Mordecai didn't stand up to greet him and bow to him, Haman said, if I deal with Mordecai as an individual, I won't forgive myself. I will wipe out his whole race. That's the magnitude of the wickedness of men. See, some people will look at you just because of the way you dress. They will say, so you too, you think you have arrived. You will not marry until you are 90. And they won't stop. They will say, even if you give birth out of wedlock, your daughters will marry. And some will look at you and say, poverty will remain in your family for 10 generations. Not because you did anything. You just wore a suit. And they too wore a suit. And they assumed that you were squaring shoulders. And they will lose their sleep. How will a man not greeting you translate to wiping out his whole race? And the guy didn't just bluff. He went to the king, manipulated the king to pass it into law. Because the law of the Medes and the Persians alters not. If it is written, even the king can't stop it. The only way the king can do something about it is to write another law that will counter it. That's why when he wanted Israel to be spared, he wrote a law and gave Israel the right to defend themselves. So he couldn't even alter what he said first. They had to fight their way into survival. That's how powerful that law is. And that was what the guy routed. And the guy told the king, if I have to pay to sponsor the massacre, I will pay. He wanted to use all his life savings to pay for Israel to be wiped off. Nothing they could do. And when they reached out to Esther, Esther knew the only thing that would help them here was favor. And she activated one of the precursors of favor. And when favor was activated, Esther chapter 5, verse 2, the Bible says she went to the king. And when the king looked at her, the king found favor in her sight. She found favor in the sight of the king. And the king raised his staff and invited her to come. Now, when you enter in without invitation, usually you are slaughtered. But favor violated and reversed the protocol. And the king called her in. In verse 3 of that scripture, before she made any demand, the king said, whatever you want, I will give you. Even if it is up to half of my kingdom, I'm willing to separate my kingdom into two and reign with you. That's the level to which, if favor wants to protect you, favor becomes like a spur on your life. Even people who don't know you will go out of their way to support you. They won't know why. This is why you need it. Because your battles are many. Unless you are not planning to become great. When you find men that have fortified fortresses, it's not just about the security they built around them. There is a gap that only favor can occupy. Favor brings preservation. Number two, I don't have time. There are many scriptures I would have given you. Number two, favor brings uncommon access. Uncommon access. Ask men who have favor. They open doors, enter places that you will need to be on appointment for years before you enter. But you'll find a man with favor. He just comes and things connect cheaply and he enters. See, there are many things you want to do that you can't pay for. You will need somebody that has the power to decree and it is done. But for that to happen, you need access to those corridors. This is why favor becomes a must. Now, look at what happened in the life of Lot. God wanted to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot did not have the stature to even speak on the matter. He didn't have the authority. And his existence there was inconsequential. There was no intervention program for him. Sodom and Gomorrah was to be wiped out. And no angel cared whether Lot lived there. It was a concluded matter. But there was a man that had stature called Abraham. And God said, can I do a thing without informing my servant Abraham? This one has already secured favor. I've seen that he will be great on the face of the earth. Let me pass and talk to Abraham about this matter. And Abraham procured favor for Lot. And suddenly, the angels entered the land. What was not budgeted from heaven was added on earth. When we were coming from heaven, we didn't plan to exonerate Lot. But a man who had favor brought Lot into the equation. That's what we call access. You don't qualify, but somebody who has favor say, how about Peter? How about Matthew? And then suddenly Matthew gets a scholarship. Suddenly Matthew is made a senator. Suddenly Matthew shifts. And even Matthew knows that he's not qualified. Now, see the way favor empowers people. Lot that was not budgeted for. Lot that was not in the equation. In Genesis 19, from verse 17. Angel said, let go. Lot was wasting time. We came here to clear you. You are not a factor. You are supposed to die with these people. Now the guy was wasting time. But because a man of favor had trapped the angels, that's in verse 15 and 16. The angels carried them and dragged them out of the city, brought them to a spot and said, run to that mountain and you will be spared. See what Lot was capitalizing on favor. Go to verse 17. Let's now see the man that was sentenced to death is now making demands because of favor. He said, and it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. We didn't come here with any marching order to protect you. This benefit we are giving you is because a man of favor prayed for you. Now, see Lot, having understood that he had secured favor in their sight, and Lot said unto them, oh, not so. Not so. Who told you you can negotiate on this matter? What do you mean by not so? We were not supposed to consult you in the first place. You were supposed to wake up and discover your building is on fire. And when you run out, the city would have been on fire. How dare you say not so? He knew why he was talking. Go to the next verse. Behold now, thy servant hath found grace. In NIV, he calls it favor in thy sight. So the reason I can negotiate is because I know that there is an economy called favor and it has been activated. I have found favor in your sight. He now made a statement. The man, on account of the favor he had, now saved a whole city that was supposed to be destroyed. He said, and you have shown great kindness in sparing my life. He said, but I cannot flee to the mountains. He said, this disaster will overtake me and I will die. And then next verse, see what the guy demanded. These are marching orders from heaven. I'm showing you the power of favor. They came down. God said, the iniquity of Sodom have ascended to heaven. Judgment has been passed. Wiped it out. But see what favor was doing. Conclusions from heaven. And the guy said, look, here is a town. We are scarcely saving you. You want to save a town? A whole town. When you find people who have favor, they will make a demand. You will think it's unreasonable. Then they will say, take it. And then you will be there with your mouth wide open. Take what? How is it possible? It's favor. Favor has the highest value in currency rating. What favor can buy? Pound sterling can buy. What favor can buy? Dollars cannot buy. This is why wise men, they secure it. Because one operation of favor can do for you what $1 million can never do. The guy said, look, here is a town near enough to run to. And it is small. Let me flee into it. It is very small, isn't it? Then my life will be spared. And hear what the angel said. He said unto him, very well, I will grant you this request too. I will grant you this request too. I will not overthrow the town you speak of. That means that town was supposed to be overthrown. So because the guy found favor, one petition secured that town. Why do you think sometimes you come and somebody say he's going through crisis, his whole family have been struggling for 10 years, and you say, Lord, have mercy. And that your Lord have mercy is superior for the corporate intercession of that family for 10 years. What gave you that stature is called favor. Do you know that the people in this town probably would have been praying for the city not to be destroyed? They would have called general fast, general city prayer when they saw fire from Sodom. They would have still been destroyed. But because this guy had favor, he said, please spare this town. I want to be there. And because of his presence there, the town was spared. Favor grants uncommon access. Favor grants solutions, answers to uncommon requests. This is why you will need it. Most of the things your destiny requires, you may never be able to pay for them. But if you have favor and you ask, it can be provided for you. When you see men do great things, don't think they have all the money they need. Most of them spend from the currency of favor. They spend from it. The currency of favor. I was supposed to travel somewhere for a meeting some years ago. And then I was in Calabar. The flight I was supposed to fly on, they shifted the flight to 6:30 p.m. Meanwhile, I was supposed to be in Lagos latest 2:30 because of hold up to get to the venue. We now booked a flight in Uyo. So first thing in the morning, we hopped on boat and flew on the water. We got to Uyo, they say the plane is airborne. They've locked the door. quickly before I made any effort, they said, let's catch another flight in Port Harcourt. That Port Harcourt is about 3 hours away. We booked that flight. As we were going, they said, Kai, we delayed in the airport. We can't catch that one again. We turned back on the road. Confusion everywhere. They said, okay, we can get one back to Abuja. By the time we arrived back at the airport in Uyo, they said, no, there's no seat anymore. I stood there. I didn't know what to do. I was checking my spirit. Suddenly, I received the call. What happened? A billionaire who was in Lagos for the meeting heard that they said Apostle Mike's flight was shifted and he doesn't have flight to come. He said, Apostle Mike is not coming. What am I doing here? I came here to hear him. What do you mean he's not coming? Immediately they put a call across to me and said, sir, give us 25 minutes. We'll tell you how you get to Lagos. Less than 25 minutes, another call came in. A private jet just took off from Abuja. In 45 minutes, they will pick you up from Abuja straight to Lagos. I said, really? They said, please, while you are waiting, a car will pick you somewhere to be relaxing. I said, that is how it should be. Why will I be running up and down? Hear me. At the time this was happening, if you slaughter me, I won't carry $8,000 to book a private jet. I will not try it. And then relax. I sat in VIP. They brought tea. They brought this, brought that. I crossed my leg. And we were chilling. No more tension. After a while, private jet landed. All the airport officers who were, sir. I looked at them. You think it's everybody you can intimidate? I walked. No! I walked like a prince. Entered the private jet. They flew up to Lagos. The moment we landed Lagos, Land Cruisers. I say, why not? I put myself in order. They picked us, took me to a very solid hotel. Please, sir, just refresh. We'll be here in another 20 minutes to pick you. Guess how many minutes I preached there? 10 minutes. You don't know what we are saying here, my brother. You will miss many destiny appointments because you lack favor. You would have put all the effort. That little 1 second that would have changed the equation that your effort can't meet up may cost you everything unless favor steps in. When we tell you these things, we know it. And hear me, it's not about the luxury. It's about destiny demands. There are too many demands your destiny will put on you that you may not have the capacity to sponsor. This is why you need favor. From that day, it became normal to fly private jets. It became normal. When I have meetings, sometimes they say, no, man of God, we will pick you. And so you put yourself in order. Don't walk carelessly when you get there. That one is, I just gave you an expo. Don't walk here. Put yourself together and go there like a man God has helped. Give the Lord a big shout. He grants uncommon access. I'm telling you. See, it's not everything you have prophecy for. There are other things that the favor on your life will rise up to the occasion. Favor grants uncommon access. Number 3, favor grants you victory in the battles of life. He grants victory. It will cause God to bring his help your way. And many times, brothers and sisters, you will need the help of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. It says, as God's co-workers, I urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. He said, for he says, in the time of favor, I heard you. And in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of favor. Now is the day of salvation. Any day favor shows up, that day deliverance shows up. I'm telling you, there are things prophecies handle. There are things prayer handle. There are things human connection handles, but there are other things that favor must sponsor. This is why you must understand how to walk favor, so that you will walk in victory in perpetuity. In Psalm 106 verse 4, he said, "Remember me, Lord, when you show favor to your people and come to their aid, when you save them." When does God save his people? When does God come to their aid? It's when he shows them favor. And so the people that always walk in victory are the people that have the assurance of God's help and God's intervention. And he said those kinds of people, one thing they have and have in abundance is the favor of God. So favor brings you into victory by procuring divine help. Number four, favor provokes the abiding presence of God. When you find people who carry God's presence in abundance, most times there is a favor ingredient sponsoring it. In Genesis 18 from verse 1 to 3, Abraham literally used favor to summon God's presence. The Bible said, the Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre, where he was sitting at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He said, Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. He said, when he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and to bow and low to the ground. And he said, if I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass thy servant by. If I have found favor, and because of that petition, God followed Abraham to his house. God dined with Abraham. God feasted with Abraham. And that was what translated to Sarah giving birth to Isaac. It was that encounter, in that encounter, that God told Sarah, in the next time of life, she will be with child. It was in that encounter that Sodom and Gomorrah came into the scene and Lot was delivered. But he took favor to secure the abiding presence of God. If you find men that carry God's presence, in addition to their consecration, there is a favor element on their life that attracts God's presence. In fact, when God wants to dwell with his people, he puts favor upon their lives. Acts chapter 7, verse 44 to 46. Write these scriptures down. Meditate upon them. I'm showing you this so that you will know the significance of favor and you will fight to secure it. And if you already have it, you will apply these principles to grow in it, because it's too important. Our ancestors had the tabernacle of the covenant law, the covenant law, with them in the wilderness. So the tabernacle was in the wilderness. They went out to worship and come back. Such was their interaction with God's presence. And I'm talking about the manifest presence here now. And then the Bible said, it had been made as God directed Moses, according to the pattern that he had seen. After receiving the tabernacle, our ancestors under Joshua brought it with them when they took the land and the nations God drove out before us. And he said he remained in that land until the time of David. That means until David came, the tabernacle was outside the camp. Now when David showed up, hear what the Bible said David did. He said, who enjoyed God's favor and asked that he might provide a dwelling place for God in Jacob. When David showed up, he moved the tabernacle from outside the camp and brought it into the camp, and the presence of God began to dwell with the people. When a man carries favor, the manifest presence of God is upon his life. Now, for those of us who are born again, the Holy Ghost is with us and in us. But you see, there are many times where you want the manifest presence of God. It will take fasting. It will take prayer. It will take meditating on the word of God. But you know the challenge? There are many occasions of your life where you won't have time to fast. There are many occasions of your life where you may not have time to pray. But you will still need the manifest presence of God to appear in a place and create change. It is the favor of God on your life that will provoke it when your consecration is lacking. And for those of you who travel, you know what I'm telling you. See, there are times when we travel and we are just arriving and we are having to step out to demonstrate God, to manifest God. If God's favor is not on your life, see, you will be on the stage of your destiny, struggling with sweat, and you will, that stage that should announce you will become your platform of disgrace. I'm telling you, have you not seen many people who showed up on very top platforms and attracted indignation instead of celebration? Because they needed God to show up, but probably their preparation was not sufficient. After teaching in London back to back for 6 days, I had to travel that night. And I flew to Ethiopia, close to 9 hours, rested 2 hours, flew to Lusaka, 4 hours, 30 minutes. Rested 2 hours, waiting for flight, not necessarily rest. And then flew 45 minutes to Ndola. And then drove 1 hour to Kitwe. I arrived at my hotel by 8 p.m., flying 9 p.m. from London. What did they say? Ah, man of God, we just discovered you are leaving on Saturday. Hi, we thought you will be, we discovered you are leaving on Friday. We thought you'll be leaving on Saturday. Since you are leaving on Friday, are you strong enough to just come and greet the people and take a short session? This is an open air crusade. Do they greet people in crusade? I was tired. I said, okay, bring my garments out. My suit was squeezed. There was not even enough time to iron it. The pressure they were putting on me. I looked up and looked down. My body was tired. My spirit was down. I said, Lord, have mercy. Let's go. I entered the crusade ground wearing a tracksuit with sneakers like a rapper who was coming to perform. When I showed up on the crusade, is this the man of God? Is he a rapper? And I was drained. And I sat there. When the man introduced me and I stood up, the moment I collected the microphone, the Holy Ghost rose on my inside. Oh my God. As I carried the mic, it was like electric current. I fired and blew on higher cylinder. Pop, pop, pop. For 2 hours. When I finished preaching, I made the declaration. Somebody showed up. Stage 4 cancer. Tumor dematerialized. Pain left the breast. Pain left the back. Strength entered her. What happened? Even me, I don't know. But the presence showed up. He said, fear not, O Mary. He said, blessed art thou among women. The Lord is with you. Why? Because you have found favor with God. So when your preparation is not enough, when you are taken unaware, God will show up nonetheless because His favor is upon your life. This is what makes men command God's favor any day, anytime. You think I'm joking? Those of you who have attended many interviews, you know there are many interviews you enter and you know the questions they are asking here. You are already finished. And the moment you step in, they look at you and they smile. How are you doing today? An interview becomes a casual conversation. And because they have laughed with you, they ask you very simple questions and tell you it's okay, we'll look at your CV. And you land a job that somebody has sweated out of that interview. Now, this is not telling you not to work hard. Work hard. Be diligent in service. Be diligent in labor. But you must understand that in addition to the requisite requirement of hard work, you must carry the consciousness that there's something on my life. There's something. Mary was not the only virgin. There were many ladies that kept their virginity. There were many ladies that refused the pressure of sex and the pressure of intimacy and kept their virginity. But in the high heavens, they were not just looking for virgins. Which one carries the favor of God? And the angel went and looked in Nazareth, shuffled from one virgin to another virgin, to another virgin. And when she saw this one, he saluted her. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Why? Because you have found favor with God. So I didn't just come here because you are a virgin. Sister, there are many virgins in this land. But for you, you have favor. And because you have favor, he said you are blessed among women. See, I don't know what you do. You may be in real estate. You may be in ministry. You may be a farmer. You may be a businessman. But hear the word of the Lord. In addition to the principles you practice, may favor rest upon you now. I say, may favor rest upon you now. Thank
God for gifts. Thank God for diligence. Thank God for skill. But there are too many people that have all of those in their set. In addition to that, let the aroma of God be upon your life. So that when you show up, you will not be lost among the skillful. You will not be lost among the gifted. Let favor set you apart. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with you. Why is the Lord with you? Because you have found favor with God. He said, and Noah found favor with God. There are men who found favor with God. And on the strength of that favor, they were separated. They were set apart in their generation. Because God's presence followed them everywhere. In addition to my strategy as a real estate agent, the presence of God must tabernacle there. In addition to my strategy as an agriculturist, the presence of God must tabernacle there. In addition to my elegance as a woman, the favor of God must be there. In addition to my consecration as a minister, the favor of God must be there. That's what will make you stand out, because favor provokes divine presence. And so when you show up, they don't just see you, they see your God with you. And when they see your God, they will bow to your God, whether they like it or not. I prophesy over someone. That is your portion from this service. I said that is your portion from this service. In the name of Jesus. Ooh, for a moment. You know, when Cana men look at you and God is helping you, they are looking at the natural things. Oh, this guy is smart. Oh, this guy is manipulative. Oh, this guy is aggressive. All of those things are in human realm. The Bible says promotion does not come from the south. It does not come from the east. It does not come from the north. It does not come from the west. It cometh from the Lord. If you are smart and God does not promote you, if it's by God, you remain there. If you are cunning, if you are shrewd, whichever route you want to use, when you find a man who is truly exalted in a generation, know that the elements of divinity are at work there. When the presence of God is credited to you by favor, that favor sets you apart and gives you a place in your generation. It doesn't matter how many like you rise, your distinction will always be there. There can be 1,001 prophets, your sound will be given to you. There can be 1,001 apostles, your sound will be given to you. There can be 1,000,000 women, 1,000,000,000 women, your uniqueness will be given to you. That when you stand, you'll be different. He said, blessed art thou amongst women. Has nothing to do with your looks. Has nothing to do with your dress. Dress well, look well, but be careful that what distinguishes people is the aroma of God that is on their life. It's called favor. Finally, because of time, favor establishes people. Many start well, but they never finish well. They fall by the wayside. And I can tell you, don't be in a hurry to blame anybody who doesn't finish well. Run your race first. If you know the beasts that are waiting in the paths of destiny, you will humble yourself before God. Before you look at somebody and say, look at, they are a disgrace. Better go. See, when you see men fall, it should humble you. Go back to God and say, help me. You are very foolish if you see people fall and you castigate them. When you run the race, you will know that everybody standing is standing because it helped. Before you look at an evangelist, look at a prophet, look at a businessman, and say, look at all these careless people. Be careful. Because when your own beast show up, if God doesn't help you, your fall may be more colossal. Don't be among those who castigate people. Listen, when you see men fall, learn from their lives. Ask for mercy and trust God to help you. One of the ways God establishes the dynasties of men is by putting favor on their lives. Psalm 90 verse 17, it says, may the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the works of our hands. Yes! Establish the works of our hands. That means, in addition to your being careful, applying wisdom, being diligent, and I keep emphasizing these things because they are important, but in addition to all of that, there are other divine ingredients that you must provoke continually to support you on the sojourn of existence. He said, by favor, may we be established. May the works of our hands be established. Let it be established, because we are not better than those who fail. This is why we must learn the ways of securing help from the realms of God. In Psalm 89 verse 17, he said, for you are their glory and their strength. He said, by your favor, you have exalted our horn. That is establishment. That is influence. Our horn is not exalted because we are strong. It is by your favor. You chose to anoint us with fresh oil. You chose to look upon us with graciousness. And on the strength of that, we were established. Paul was speaking in Acts 26:22. He said, having received the help of God, he said, I continue to this day. I didn't continue to this day because I was the best. I secured the help of God. See, most of us are careless with life. You know, when we started, we sit down and talk. Some of our colleagues will tell you, this gift they have, if they stand up, the world must gather around them. I nod my head. Some of us have read and we have looked around. And I say, Lord, have mercy. Some will tell you they can pray. Anywhere they enter, they will blow it open with prayer. We have not gone anywhere. But we have seen that the race is not to the swift. Neither is the battle to the strong. It's of the Lord that showeth mercy. This is why, listen, never get proud to think because of this and that, you'll be outstanding in your generation. Do all of it, but trust God to pour into you. And one of the things God pours into a man is favor. When that favor comes on your life, even kings will look for you. Nothing breaks protocols like favor. A man can stand without talking. Everything aligns to his advantage. Imagine what happened with Esther. She has not even said anything. Read that scripture. Let me humble you. Esther chapter 5 verse 2. The woman just stood. The king was the only one talking. Meanwhile, kings don't talk much, because their word is law. But favor came with a spare. Go to verse 1. I'm showing you something. Learn it. On the third day, Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the inner courts of the palace. Do you see why I told you? The ones you need to do, do them. She didn't come there haggard. She put on her royal robes. But she knew she needed something more than her royal robe. And I will show you her preparation. And stood in the palace in front of the king's hall. The king was sitting on his royal throne in the hall, facing the entrance. At that time, whatever it is that took the eyes of the king there was part of the manipulation. And in verse 2, then he saw the queen Esther standing in the court. He was pleased with her. The King James Version said, he found favor with her and stretched forth his golden scepter. Held out his golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. She has not spoken. She just stood. Go to the next verse. King began to speak out of tune. Then said the king unto her, what will thou, Queen Esther? She has not answered. What is thy request? She has not answered. It shall be given thee. She has not answered. even up to half of my kingdom.
Which king talks like this?
Four questions. A man was already willing to throw his throne away. It shows you the power and the excellency. If you want to do anything great in life, hear me now and hear where you will need favor. If you don't have favor, you will struggle and expend your life. You will discover you have not achieved much. But at that time, your strength would have finished. Nothing gives you speed. Nothing gives you advantage. Nothing gives you security like the favor that the mercy of God provokes. Now, if favor is this important, very quickly, how do we activate divine favor? Number one, through love and faithfulness. You know why most of us lack favor in our lives? We are either wicked in our hearts or we are careless with the things God commits to us. So it becomes a risk to promote us. When you find people who have favor, they are full of love. They love you genuinely for you. When God is doing something with you, they are happy for you without envy. And when you commit anything to their trust, they do it with all their heart. This is the cheapest way to sponsor favor. Proverbs 8, 34, 35. Blessed are those who listen to me. Sorry. Proverbs 3, 3 to 4. Let me begin from there. It says, let love and faithfulness never leave you. It says, bind them around your neck. It says, write them on the tablet of your heart. It says, then you shall win favor and a good name in the sight of God and in the sight of man. Nobody hates a faithful person. But the problem most of us have is the least assignment is committed to us, but we will never do it right. And so everything we do is so haphazard that there will be complaints upon complaints. A point comes that when somebody looks at you, irritation just comes out because you never do anything right. Look at people who are diligent. The Bible says a man who is diligent in his business, it says that man stands before kings and not before men. Because he is faithful in paying attention to do that which is committed to him. You cannot not attract the attention of the mighty. In fact, there is a level you get to that you don't even stand before kings. Kings come to you. It says Gentiles come to your light. He says kings come to the brightness of your rising. If you want to function in favor, remove envy and bitterness from your heart. Love people and love them genuinely. Don't be a parasite. There are people that if they smile at you, the next minute they are asking for something. You are well dressed. I love the way you look. Hey, my brother, if you don't mind, I need this. First time, no problem. Second time, the third time, if you say you don't mind, they'll say, Kai. Don't you know some people spend the favor on their life and waste it? Because of the heart. The heart is evil. The heart is wicked. Parasitic. They only want to take from people. They don't love people genuinely. And anything you commit to them, they never do it well. They are too selfish to deploy themselves to do something that will bless others or bless humanity. And when God sees that, he withdraws. If you exalt this once, humanity will not be blessed. They are too self-centered to be a blessing. You want to walk in favor? Be full of love and faithfulness. Number two, how do you walk in favor? Through wisdom and perfect understanding. When you find those who are wise, when you find those who have good understanding, they always secure favor. Proverbs 13:15. It says a good understanding. Other verses call it sound judgment. It says provokes favor. When you find a man who has a good understanding, it says good understanding giveth favor. Find anybody doing anything and is doing it with wisdom, with the authority that comes from understanding, you will just become favorably disposed towards that person. In Proverbs 8:34-35, it says, blessed are those who listen to me, watching daily at my door, waiting at my door. It says, for those who find me, find life and receive favor. Who is talking here? Wisdom. Because if you go to verse 12-15, it says, I, wisdom, I dwell with prudence. It says, by me kings reign and princes decree justice. Yea, all the rulers of the earth. So wisdom was the one talking there. He said, whoever finds me receiveth favor. There are many people who are too foolish for destiny. In fact, they are so foolish, it looks as if they were taught and trained to walk in foolishness. And so favor is withdrawn from them. And they never know. From laughing alone in public, you say, Kai, Kai, Kai. He sits in public. Oh, oh, oh. He's laughing as if he wants to swallow the whole globe. They're never cautious about anything. No intelligence, no discretion, no comportment, no wisdom about what they do. And they are hoping that one day they will arise. So we go nowhere. Better prepare your heart for failure, because that's the path you are joining in. If you want to be relevant, if you want favor to distinguish you, whatever you are doing, apply wisdom, discretion, and sound judgment. Favor is not cheap. It comes to specific people. That's why not everybody have it. Number three, how do you secure favor? By being good as a person. When God sees that you are a good person, one of the ways He secures you is by giving you favor. Proverbs chapter 12 verse 2, see the way the Bible puts it. There are deeper dimensions, but I'm showing you, I'm taking it little by little. You can buy it. This thing called favor, you can buy it. And if you already have it because you are in Christ, you can grow in it. It's not magic. A good man obtaineth favor of the Lord. So most who don't have favor don't have it because they are wicked men. Somebody's rising, you are angry. Why? Does his rising stop you? Everything you can do to pull him down, you start doing it. Imagine that sister. When did she come here? She thinks she's the most beautiful. All because the boy you are eyeing greeted her. Suddenly she has become wicked. She's just here, causing confusion everywhere. I don't like this kind of people. You are a joker. The more you are offended, the more she will rise. You are in a business with a brother. It's not his fault. You have been in real estate for 10 years. He just came. God gave him 10 hectares. Thank God for him. If God is doing it for him, it means God is in the quarters. It means God is in the neighborhood. That means your turn also have come. When did this guy come here? Does he know what 1 hectare is? No, he can't have that land. If he has that land, he will respect us again. In this business, there is a law. There's a protocol. Elders must be respected. And you do everything possible to thwart it. All of you got the job, but the old guy likes this person. Made him his personal assistant, and he wants to promote him. What you should do is thank God for him, find out what he's doing that is securing favor. The next thing, you start moving around, lying against him, so that Oga will put him aside. What will shock you is that when Oga puts him away, Oga will go to Congo and bring another person and make him his PA. You will still be there. That you off somebody else's candle does not mean yours will be lit. That you, if you off somebody else's candle, it means the darkness will increase. You don't know what I'm saying. When you find, in our world is so bad that when you find people living happily together, check, they are mediocres. I'm telling you, very few occasions you find people happy and some are doing well. If you come to a place and you find people doing well together for 10 years and there's no conflict, they are mediocres. The day one rises, that union will scatter. That's why the Bible says a faithful man or a good man. He said, who can find? You will hardly find people who celebrate you for you. In fact, if you come to a place and you start saying what God did for you, somebody will hijack it and start saying what God is doing for him too. As though you people are competing on who God is doing for more. See, our world is bad. They are no good men anymore. That's why it looks as if God is no longer favoring people. If you want favor, see, train your heart. See, when God is helping somebody and you feel bad, quickly run from there. Go and tell God, help me. Evil, wickedness have entered my soul. I felt threatened. I felt bad when this person testified. Please have mercy on my heart. Please purify me. Purge my soul. Don't let it become a part of you. You are blocking the way for your rising. Get to that point where you are comfortable that somebody else is rising. Celebrate them. Support them. Thank God for those who trained us those days. They taught us how to celebrate those God is helping. My friends will be here, they will tell you. When they bought cars, I will say, let me drive and see. I'll drive it straight to a filling station, fill the tank. I'm sewing into it. I can't buy a tire for you, but at least I can fill the tank. I was the last who had car. I think I had car before one other person. And when I got a car, in 6 months, I mobilized the rest of the people. We bought one for the other person. You think people just become? That's why you are fasting and praying on the mountain. You have all star now. Nothing has happened. Because your nature is evil. And God cannot promote evil. You want to see politics and wickedness? Come among the brethren. You will see things and you will wonder if these people are believers. I'm not saying they are no good people. But I'm telling you some of the predominant things happening. There are people who can carry envy and malice in their heart for 6 months. Why? Because they prepared for a conference. They were not the ones that the choir director told to lead song. Meanwhile, they worship God, but it was never about worship. It was about leading song and demonstrating talent. I'm telling you why the things made available, we can't walk in them. If favor is activated in your life, you'll be shocked what you will achieve in 1 month. You will know the difference. When God began to favor me, I started receiving in 2 weeks what I couldn't receive in 2 years. Effortlessly. And I said, what is the meaning of this? Is this thing possible? Mama is here, she knows now. When we go from house to house praying for people, doing vigils for months, just praying for people. In the morning, come back, go and teach physics and mathematics. I got promotion from one school to another. I started teaching chemistry. They promoted me to HOD. HOD is earning 25,000 naira. With the lab coat that I wore. I will preach in that school. Revival. Students will be weeping. But nothing shifted. Until the day God blew on me. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Somebody's life is changing. I said somebody's life is changing. In the name of Jesus. Sit down, let me round up. Number 4, how do you provoke favor? By growing and building competence. Build competence. Build competence. First Samuel 16, verse 17 and 18, 20 and 21. See David's credentials. Now, if you read 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 26, you are going to hear that, and the boy grew in stature before favor. You grow in stature before you grow in favor. That means you must build confidence in order to attract favor. And then if you come to 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 17 and 18, when David was being described, look at his credentials. You don't just stand up and say, the mantle of David, the mantle of David. He said, and Saul said unto his servants, provide me now a man that can play well, not just play. A man that can do what? Play well and bring him to me. That's why I say, Gentiles come to your light. He said, but kings come to the brightness of your rising. You see, there's no negotiation about it. You must do it well. Have you not seen that most people who have companies, their managers are from other states? They have relatives. They would rather give them stipends and upkeep. But if it's on the job, you need a man who can do it well. Do you understand? This one is not a gamble. It has to be so. Look at verse 18. Then answered one of his servants and said, "Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, and a mighty, valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him." You think favor is just with everybody? See the credential. Put this thing on NIV. Let's look at some of these ancient words so that you'll get the point better. He said, "I have seen the son of Jesse of Bethlehem, who knows how to play the lyre. He is a brave man and a warrior. He speaks well and is fine looking man." Don't stand up and say, "But Jesus used fishermen," and you come, you talking. Meanwhile, this scripture watered this thing down. I don't have time. I would have used my concordance to click those words. When you go home, use your concordance, click those words, find cunning, find valiant. Look at all the syllables. You'll understand. Now go to verse 17. Verse 20. When the guy showed up, see what Saul did. 21. The father was packaging. They were wise people. Package some gifts for the king. That's diplomacy. You need it. Verse 21. It said, "And David came to Saul and stood." That's all he needed to do. "And stood before him." What happened? "And he loved him greatly." The king just saw him and loved him. Why? His credentials went ahead of him. And when he came, he didn't disappoint. When he showed up, just by standing, the king said no. He loved him. The guy was invited to play. What was his position? He became armor bearer. So they gave him a position superior to the vacancy that was advertised. He was not just playing. He became an armor bearer. He promoted him before he started. That's the power of favor. And the next verse said, he found favor with King Saul. Build competence. Build competence. Don't live your life carelessly and say, God's favor must be on me. No. No. There is a protocol. Number 5, how do you build favor? Through fasting. It's a spiritual thing, so there must be a spiritual precedence to it. Those of you who wake up by 7:30, you are already yawning. 10 o'clock, you say, wait. Only the living serve the Lord. If we die, what will happen? And you have done only the living serve the Lord for 10 years. There's no time in your life where you wait upon the Lord. You are joking. See, this is why every little thing throws many people down. There's no consecration. I told you on Tuesday when I was teaching, consecration has cadres. There is generic consecration. There is personal consecration. Then there are special consecration. All of them have their powers. There are many Christians without consecration. No prayer. No fasting. So the things that happen to unbelievers happen to them also. It even happens to them more. And they are wondering what happened. Look at Esther. See, there are people who know these things until they wield it like a sword. When Mordecai invited Esther 4 verse 15 and told her, "You are enjoying yourself. You think you are, if they touch us, they won't touch you. Who told you? You don't know God brought you into the kingdom at such a time as this. Finish everything." Verse 16, Esther answered one answer. I know the cure to this problem. And I don't just know the cure. I know how to generate what will produce the cure. The cure is favor, but favor must be sponsored. How do you sponsor? Imagine, this lady was not a prophetess, but she had spiritual. You now understand why she was succeeding in the palace. She knew what to do to have her place. There are many women who have been marginalized in the family they built. They don't know what to do. Every great platform has great warfare. That's why you need intelligence. I'm not saying there are people who are not doing what is right, but I'm saying there are many other people whose irresponsibility has made them to almost be kicked out of what they built. Esther said, verse 16, he said, go gather all the Jews that are in Shushan and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink. She even knew the quota of fasting that can generate sufficient favor. Neither drink nor eat for 3 days, night or day. And he said, I also am my maiden. She didn't just gather fair or black, tall lady or short ladies and say, you must be packaged. No, all her maidens were fasting warriors. She looked at the spiritual before the natural. I know it's good to make hair. I know it's good to blend pink top with black skirt. All of that is good, but start with fasting first. Dress with a fast. He said, I and my maiden. He said, we will fast likewise. We will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. So she knew she was going to break protocols. But she also understood that if I do what I have to do, no matter how rigid the protocol is, I will break it. This is how mighty people live. They say it's impossible. Give me 7 days. I will come back. Let's see how impossible it is. They say it's impossible. Give me 3 days. Let me enter my room and come out. And let's see if the protocol will not be altered. Such were the powers that Esther wielded. Before you talk of the mantle of Esther, know the consecrations of Esther. When she did this, she cast a spell on the king. And in chapter 5, verse 2, the king looked at her. What do you want? I will give you. Just ask, even if it's up to half of my kingdom. I know most of you have quoted that scripture. It's not a scripture to quote, it's a scripture to generate. It took 3 days prayer and fasting to generate it. Listen, the Bible said, you know, we don't know the powers we have. You know what the Bible said? It said, you shall serve the Lord your God. It shall bless your bread and your water. And it shall remove sickness from the midst of thee. It said, none shall cast thy young. It said, the years of your life shall be fulfilled, and none shall desire her mate. So every spiritual thing has a precursor. That means if you serve God, there's no way you will not be married. If you serve God, there's no way you will not prosper in your business. If it is not happening, it means there's a warfare. Then you switch into another mode. Maybe you bring prophecy. Maybe you bring prayer. Maybe you bring fasting. But it's telling you there are baselines to these realities. And this woman knew what to do to command the heart of any man, including a king. 3 days prayer and fasting. And she generated favor that shut down the heart of the king. Favor can be bought. Favor can be provoked. They are precursors. If you know what to touch, your life can be full of favor. And number one is to carry genuine love and faithfulness. Number two is to function in wisdom. Number three is to be a good person. Number four is to grow and develop competence. Number five is through fasting. Number six is by living a life of praise. Continuous praise. The disciples of Jesus were being hunted like animals, but nothing could stop them. You know why? In Acts 2:47, the Bible said daily they went from house to house praising God. The moment the Bible said they praised God, it said they began to have favor with all the people. So if you want to function in favor, live a life of praise. Sing, dance, celebrate God, glorify His name. If you don't know how to sing well, get songs of those who sing well. Sing along. There are times when I always carry Bluetooth speakers around. As it's playing in the room, I'm just there celebrating my God. Dancing, Sometimes we even start weeping because of the many anointings that are flowing at all frequency. And then when you step out, somebody wants to give you a car. Somebody wants to invite you for a meeting. Somebody wants to visit you. Somebody just wants to love on you. And others are looking at you. They say, what are you doing? Is it the charisma? Is it the suit you are wearing? Is it the talk? All of that is nothing. There are deeper spiritual undertones to the things that you see manifest. I was telling them, those who work with me, they know. If I want to travel, you won't see me here 1 week in a year. I can travel from country to country from January to December. There is sufficient invitation to power it. Sometimes my wife looks at it and says, when did they accept this one again? Bring that itinerary here. Let me look at it. Because as I'm coming, I'm going. As I'm coming, I'm going. It's fatherhood and responsibility as a husband that keeps us down. Meanwhile, there are ministers who are trusting God for 3 invitations in 1 year. It's not about the preaching. It's about the secret that you engage. There are many people who preach better, have brighter manifestations. But favor makes the difference. Praise God. Praise God. See, there are some of us, even when they are praising God, we are there doing like this. As if we are the one marking whether the praise is correct or wrong. And anytime we are so moved, we now clap like this. If you are 90 years or 80 years, your life is behind you, you can afford it. But if you are 30, 40, you are a joker. I was teaching my people recently. I told them, some of them want to preach. They are moving like Pastor Chris. You know, the Lord is good. The Lord will bless you. The Lord will... You are joking. Go and check his messages when he was 30. He said, be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. You are looking at men in their 60s. Conserving energy. You are joking. You come, you are acting like Daddy Gio. God is here. You are playing. Oh. We honor them. Oh. We are inspired by them. And they can inspire us to even mimic them sometime. But listen, when you find them when they were younger, they had sufficient passion. They are growing old. And some of them is their natural personality. Say, praise God. You are trusting God for healing. You are trusting God for promotion. You are trusting God for financial blessing. And you are behaving like Cosmos Maduka. You have billions. Meanwhile, you have nothing. Meanwhile, these men that have billions, they dance and praise God. Go and look at them when they are dancing. They are dancing and dancing out their heart because they know they are not here by their ability. You want to find favor? Praise God. Praise God. And finally, present gifts. No stingy man is favored. A man's gift maketh room for him, causes him to stand before kings. Most of us, we are too stingy and so stingy that our stinginess attracts indignation. Anytime you see them laughing, they collected something. Ah, my brother, I love you so much. They've given him something. He will never think of giving or doing anything for anybody and is hoping to function in favor. Proverbs 19:6 spoke about how everybody is entreated by the prince, and he said a man who has gifts has many friends. That means your gift can make you become like a prince. You want to walk in favor? It's possible. But there's a precursor. There's a protocol. There are many precursors. There are many protocols. Those who are walking in favor, they know what they are doing. Some are walking in favor by praising God lavishly. Others are walking in favor by giving gifts generously. Others are walking in favor through consistent prayer and fasting. And the heavens are open over them. Others are walking in favor by building wisdom continually. A friend of mine was telling me recently, God blessed him with so much wisdom. When he speaks, he communicates wisdom. Somebody called him and said, all the equipment that your church needs, plus all the branches, give me the bill, I want to pay. He just heard him say something and he was blessed. He said, give me the budget of all the equipment and all the branches of the church. The guy now, we have like 15 branches. The man said, bring all. When he wrote the bill and was shaking, this is unreasonable. This is much. And sir, is this okay? The man looked at it and said, is this all you need? Is this all? I said, bring all. Is this all you need? No, go and find out. Check other branches. That's when the guy knew that he was dealing with a whale. His imagination, the boundary of his imagination, is where this person started from. I prophesy over you. You will function in divine favor by the power of the Holy Ghost. I decree over you everything constituting a limitation in your life by the force of favor. It breaks now. It breaks now. It breaks now. In the name of Jesus. Can we pray in the Holy Ghost for 1 minute? Stay. Stay. Shaka pataka parota. Ow. Tetetetekapida. Pray in the Holy Ghost. The summary of every spiritual reality is in our engagement in prayer. Pray, pray in the Spirit. Let the God of all possibilities, let the God of hope rise up on your account. Regeteke podobodaka. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Don't be quiet. Pray, pray, pray. Interact with what you have heard. Interact, interact. Barekete kapina parakata. Asetete kuna shabakaya. That ministry must speak. That business must speak. You must be established. Barado, barake, patatuna. Zaga. In addition to all of these principles, God still insists for us to gather. Because some of you, you have kept all. But what is happening to you is called warfare. And so God brings you to the company of the assembly of the brethren so that other people's faith can support you. He said, how beautiful, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in harmony. It's like the oil upon the head of Aaron flowing to his beard, down to his cap. See, some of you have done everything I have taught here, but you are still under attack. Some of you have done everything I've said here. Your status have not changed. Some of you have done everything I've said here, but favor has not come. Because your case, Satan has declared war against you. Can we pray corporately for the stirring of the corporate anointing? For the stirring, so that what is happening at the head will happen at the step. Shabba,
Parakatakabuda, Katata, Zwati, Oh, Wateke, Surwa, Tenia, Subu, Kapita, Pakuta, Zapapa, Pakuda, Riato, Baredo, Shawa, Zataka, Bataka, Batoto, Arada, Shadoa, Tatoa, Rakiba, Babapona, the gates open. The doors open. The sensations stop. Yow! Bow! Rua! Tailish! 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 Shahute! Teketura! Barakoda!
Oh Lord of hosts, the King of glory, Yahweh Sabaoth, Yahweh Sabaoth, O Lord of hosts. Can we pray in the Holy Ghost? We are switching to warfare dimension. That door must open. That chain must break. That spell must end. That program must be reverted. I refuse to be stagnated. Shehiteke. Esetetede. Aparo Barakuda. Shehira. Barakona. Sakatakuna. Swata. Lugududududu. Eletobetego. Jadua Petekebanudu. Ariado Barakabona. 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 Riatatakapatua. Shatakabandudu. Eregedududua. Diadua. Dua. Rao. Wate.
Lift your right hand toward heaven. Because of our time, I won't press so much. But hear me. There's an anointing of emancipation that is about to come here. Some of you, your horns will be exalted as the horn of the unicorn. You will address kings and thrones. Some of you will address nations. And for some of you, the patterns, demonic patterns that has bedeviled people in your family, you will rise up and break it. Patterns of bachelorhood and spinsterhood. Patterns of poverty and stagnation. Patterns of reproach and failure. Patterns of near success syndrome. Your horn is about to be exalted because a fresh anointing is about to come upon you. Can you ask the Lord, Father, cause your oil to flow into my life tonight. Let there be a move of the Spirit on my soul. I told you, favor is the influence of the Holy Ghost on the soul of a man that produces tangible effects in his life, resulting in supernatural benefits. Can you make demands now? He said, ask, you shall receive. Seek, you shall find. Knock, the door shall be opened unto you. It's a good thing for the Lord to bless you because you were created to function as dominions on the face of the earth. Can you make demand now? They have ganged up against you, but that can't stop you. He said, many are they that have risen against me. He said, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, the lifter up of my head. He said, gather together, you will scatter. Take counsel together, shall come to know. For our God is in our midst. Can you ask tonight? Arise, O Lord. Let thy enemies be scattered. Arise, O Lord. Let thy enemies be scattered.
every reproach of my life that altered the testimony of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, let it be thwarted now. Shabakatodate, Epekatakuroa. Everything making men ask questions. Where is your God? The answer is coming now from this altar. Your Lord will rise up as Saboa, the God of hosts. He will rise up as Ra. He will rise up as El Shaddai. He will rise up as Elohim. Eketetemaro Takaba. Shekeparote. Zakaya. Zakaya. He said to Esau, when you become reckless, you will break the yoke of your shoulders. Silate kepetuna. Beregatuna sada. When you become reckless, you will break it. Can you break that yoke? Tonight, the response to your restlessness is the anointing. For the yoke shall be broken. The body shall be lifted off your shoulders because of the anointing. The errand of the anointing is unto deliverance. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God, for God, for God was with him. Shabbat. Kadosh, Kadosh. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Be alone, it's worthy of Kadosh, 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 the Lamb of God. Your hands toward heaven. Father, this is the hour. Ushers, you will help me. There are 12 men that God wants to exalt now. Your horn will be exalted. He will bring you to a place of authority and power. Kings will seek you. Doors of nations will open. It doesn't matter if nobody has done it in your lineage. This is why God ordered your step here. Holy Ghost, you have told me you will ordain giants tonight. Giants. 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 Now wherever they are standing, I speak into their ordinations. Let that hand and let that oil rest upon them. 12. Now, Holy Ghost, touch. Usher, step now. Is the Lamb of God who sits upon the throne. He alone is worthy of our praise. Holy Ghost, touch. Kadosh, 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 Kadosh. Bring them here, bring them here. Let me lay hands quickly. He alone is worthy of us. Pray the Holy Ghost, pray the Holy Ghost. Don't be distracted. God is making shifts. There are shifts in the spirit, shifts. He's the Lamb of God. He alone. Ah! 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 Dehele kapala kapala. He alone is worthy. Stand up. The Lord is telling me, people who have struggled in bondage and diverse bondages for decades, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, there's about to be a visitation. And some of you inherited reproach. It has brought stagnation to your life. You have fought in prayer. You have labored in fasting, but the gates have remained against you. Under this corporate unction, the garment of reproach is about to be burnt off. The garment of reproach is about to be burnt off. Lift your right hand of power towards heaven. If you can, just be quiet. The Holy Ghost will mantle you now. There is a mantle that will come upon you via your right hand. And it will become a force that will break chains. All forms of stagnation, marital stagnation, financial stagnations, all forms of limitations that have brought reproach. Holy Ghost, mantle us now according to your word. From the left to the right, from the front to the back, to those connected online. Holy Ghost, this is the hour. Touch. Ushers, help them. Help them. Gloves of power. Gloves of power. Gloves of power. Ah! It's a baptism of fire. A race of fire. A tribe of fire. Help them, Osha. Help them. Help them.
Give your torch once again. Let it shine in peace.
Listen, the things I've shared here, meditate on them. Practice them. The teaching is beyond this impartation. They are realities to practice so that you walk in them. Father, thank you. Now, this is the month of supernatural possibilities. And one of the greatest sponsors of supernatural possibilities is favor. Lift that hand one more time. Let there be a rain of favor over you and your family. Let there be a rain of favor over you and your family. In the name of Jesus, I decree every gang up concerning your life and your family is hereby scattered. I proclaim over you a change in status by the instrumentality of favor in the name of Jesus. Now, every limitation you walked into this service with, whatever it is called, as you step out, you leave them behind. I command the siege of limitation to be broken in the name of Jesus. Everything bringing misfortune, ridicule, and reproach to your life, I decree that favor substitutes it now. Favor substitutes it now. In the name of Jesus. Before this week is over, may something you can never or could never have sponsored by your ability, yet for good, happen to you in the name of Jesus. May the Lord show you the excellency of favor by experience. In the name of Jesus. In a whole generation, Noah stood out because of favor. In a whole generation. That means in a whole nation, God can exonerate you and make an example out of you. I prophesy over you. Anywhere you find yourself, stand out by favor. It doesn't matter the experiences of your contemporaries. It doesn't matter the natural advantages of your contemporaries. I decree and declare, by the instrumentality of favor, stand out in the name of Jesus. The Lord keep you. Cause His face to shine upon you. Lift up His countenance over you and give you peace. You're going out and your coming in is blessed. And hear me. Before this month is over, God will bring a visitation that will trigger laughter in your family. Give the Lord a shout!
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ, and that He died for my sins. He was raised from the dead for my justification. I, therefore, confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. If you just said this prayer, congratulations, you are now a member of the family of God. Kindly send us an email, prayer@EncounterJesusMinistriesInternational.org. You can also visit our website at www.EncounterJesusMinistriesInternational.org. God bless you.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055. +233 26 767 6055. Or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.